It's time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werpin. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, the Kindle edition, Simon Loses His Tummy, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Good morning, Dr. Werpin.
Good morning to both of you. Nice to hear your voices this morning. And Jill, I want to really talk to you about something that's been bothering me for really quite a long time, and that is the fact that even though about 18% of the population at any one time is suffering from some form of mental illness, and about 4% are suffering from a really debilitating form like schizophrenia or serious bipolar disorder, it's still a situation that is stigmatized, a medical situation that is stigmatized by many of us. And this came to mind when my husband and I were having dinner with a relatively new friend a few weeks ago, and the server came over and asked if we wanted some wine or cocktail or something before dinner, and he said no. And then when the server left, he said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't been for so many years. My partner is also a recovering alcoholic. He talked about that for a little while. And then we went on to another subject. And I thought to myself, and there were some other people there. Nobody made any kind of response at all, except sort of murmured. And I thought to myself, what if he'd said, I'm a schizophrenic, and I'm taking these powerful medications and I really can't drink. Or, I have mood swings, serious mood swings, or I'm extremely obsessive-compulsive, and I have to take medication, and therefore I can't have alcohol because it might interact with my medication. I suspect that there would have been sort of an inward drawing back, a little bit of saying, really? Is he normal? Is he not normal? I think we would have looked at him a little differently. Well, maybe not. I hope not. But it occurred to me that anybody can talk about addictions, alcohol addiction, smoking addiction, even drug addiction, and people say, oh, yeah, sure, okay. And yet you talk about the mental illness, to your friends, your family, your employer or employees, and there's still this feeling of, really, are you sure it's not your own fault? Or anyway, there's no empathy, not the kind of empathy that you might have if somebody said, I'm
a recovering this, or I have, I have anxiety. And it's really interesting, and it's a very good point that you bring up, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but, the word empathy and the word compassion forget the words, the ability to perform an empathic act or a compassionate act have apparently gone the way of the zoot suit. And it's really fascinating how there are popular ailments, so to speak, or let's just call them socially acceptable ailments that make it more, they're less stigmatized. You talk about those.
Yes.
But there are many other ones that are infinitely more complex that require a degree of just understanding and acceptance.
Yes.
Crickets. I'm thinking about a friend of mine from many, many, many years ago who finally, there were some days they just couldn't get out of bed. Some days, we would walk the dogs, and he was fragile. You could tell. And one day he just looked at me and he said, "I just hope you know, I just want you to know whatever that I am manic depressive and I am being medicated. But sometimes when I take my lithium, it's like it knocks me for a." And I said, Steve, whatever. That's totally, basically, right. Thanks for telling me. And if you ever need help with the dog or anything on a day that you're knocked a cock, then let me know.
That's exactly right. And the point is that we or somebody we know has some kind of mental disorder, disturbance, disease. But they're one in four. And so if you don't know anybody, have you been living on Mars?
If you don't know anyone,
somebody,
you haven't been talking to them.
We've all been through it ourselves. Or we've all considered the fact that we might have it. And so why are we acting so, I'm not sure
cavalier.
Afraid, but But yeah, and without the sort of compassion that we would have, Jill, if somebody said to us, oh, God, I have this terrible back, and, you know, I can barely walk this morning, and it's killing me, and that's why I'm having trouble walking the dog, or, you know, I have breast cancer, I've just been, you know, diagnosed with breast cancer, the pouring of empathy and sympathy and help and support would come right out, and you would hear countless stories of, oh, my cousin, my niece, my mother, my sister, what have you, had it, she'll get over it, good luck, we know, you know, you get all this support. And yet, if you look back maybe 15 or 20 years, if you said you had cancer, that response, the response to that was almost as bad as the response when people say, oh, you know, I'm schizophrenic. It's that, oh, you do? Well, we don't want you to work here. Or you better not, you know, be in the company with their children. Maybe it's catching. You know, there was a great deal of stigmatism, being stigmatized if you had cancer. And yet we just sort of take for granted that, of course, you shouldn't be stigmatized if you have cancer. Although there are people who say, if you know somebody who has lung cancer, well, she must have been a smoker. No, she wasn't. Oh, she must have done something to cause her lung cancer. No, she didn't. But you know, there still is that little bit of blame if you learned that you have
depending
cancer.
Depending on the type of cancer.
Or learned somebody else's cancer.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of not feeling real compassion for people who have any kind of mental illness. Today, in 2021, it's hard to believe that it still exists, and yet it does.
Oh, and then the other, it's grown a couple of, it's grown several offshoots, because, you know, the internet is a wonderful thing, so you can take your symptoms du jour, and,
right.
You know, and basically plug them in and get your own diagnosis, and then you can become a this, or you've got a that, or you've got an other. Then you can join a group that's of this or that. And another. And what happens is you still, it cracked me up, so probably everybody else thought it was, oh, well, this is really good and important. But there was a New York Magazine cover of people, the long text, people are doing therapy by text.
And text.
Exactly. And I looked at it and I was like, okay, I'm sorry. Somebody needs to stop this, because the whole very act of huddling over your phone, typing, or even dictating, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not even touching the area that would possibly need to be activated to solve the problem. And so
exactly.
It's interesting, because the compassion and the empathy is a world. It's less of a droid or a bot response, right? And unfortunately, screens make people sort of they get into that. So you need there's a bit of a catch 22 is what I'm trying to say, because you've got to get away from that and know that, you know, all people really need sometimes is a little bit of actual. That support, real support, feels differently than sending an emoji, quickly.
Yeah, but we have to, you know, again, what I was really struck by was the ease with which this acquaintance said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. But I'm thinking to myself, do we yet have the ease, like your dog walking companion, to say, I am somebody suffering from X and name that mental illness? With the same, I have a rash or something. Yeah, the same, not nonchalance, but lack of emotional, you know.
Explanation. Intensity. It's just an explanation.
We just have to work at that, and we have to also stop having programs like, you know, these endless numbers of police programs or criminal programs where somebody who's about to set off a bomb under somebody's car, oh, well, you know, you better be careful. He has schizophrenia.
Right.
Yeah. And with long hair and dirty clothes, and obviously this is what somebody with schizophrenia looks like. Well, and maybe what somebody with schizophrenia who's not treated looks like, but it doesn't mean that other people do look like this. And I think we have to stop stereotyping people this way as well in the media.
You are, I couldn't agree more, and this is a massive to be continued. So thank you very much, Dr.
Right.
Judy.
You too. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Food for Mood.
And of course, you can hear Judy right here on a Thursday morning on Robin Hood Radio, also on demand, robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Workman.